You have a mental picture that comes to your mind when you think about Thanksgiving. Just like you do about Valentine's Day, Easter, Christmas. When I think of Thanksgiving, I think of food. I even wanted this morning just a little extra piece of pecan pie, but it was all gone. I think of family. We were blessed at our home this year with 30 plus people there, family and friends that we care for. Thankful for that. A lot of people travel over the Thanksgiving holidays. And then some people get up very early Friday morning to go shopping on what's now called Black Friday. Did any of you do this? It's not commanded that we celebrate Thanksgiving Day, though, as a holy day or in any other certain manner. But we are admonished in Scripture to be thankful, to have a genuine spirit of thanksgiving. And in the beginning, that's probably the direction those of faith celebrated as a Thanksgiving Day. But it certainly turned into a lot of commercialization, hasn't it? Would you take your Bible, though, and look with me again at the scripture that Judy read for us in Colossians 2. We are commanded here to do something in the spirit of thanksgiving. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 reads, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." You've been here before when we've talked about the idea of spending time with Christ, of being with Christ. And today, in summary, when the Scriptures talk about walking with Christ or walking in Christ, walk is that familiar New Testament term that describes how we behave. It describes the believer's conduct. So to walk in Christ then means that we live a life patterned after Christ's life. Now this is not rocket science here. And in the scripture it says that if we have received Christ, we should walk in Him. We should live as He lived. And Jesus had a spirit of thanksgiving. I'm not so sure that I'm always the best example when it comes to thanksgiving. Maybe you could join me in that reputation. Here, staying with the scripture though, it says that we should pattern our life after Christ's life, that we are rooted, built up, established, grounded in the faith, as you have been taught. And then he finishes with this thought here. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. As I was studying on this, the question came to me, what is the it? Let me read it again. That we are to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. What is the it? Yes, the faith. Now, there's some chronological order here that I believe is genuinely accurate. If we have been rooted and grounded, if we have been bound together, tied together, welded into the faith, and the only way to get that way is to be taught, then and only then can we abound in it with thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving season found my family at the funeral home Tuesday evening. Had a funeral for our first cousin on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. They had four preachers. And I believe God touched those men. One of them got up and he said, don't take this the wrong way, but we should be thankful to be here. It takes a mature Christian to always be thankful. Jesus left a good example. Let me demonstrate it. In Matthew and Mark and Luke, I've got the scripture written down here. If you will remember, as he was introducing the Lord's Supper to those men, this is just a few hours before he's to be killed. And he took the unleavened bread and he broke it. He blessed it, and he gave thanks. Also, when he took the cup, he says that he gave thanks. He is about to die, his body being to be broken, his blood to be shed. He is in tremendous mental despair, honestly. And he's giving thanks. Wouldn't you like to know what he said in that prayer? I thank you, God, that I am about to die, that evil men are going to beat me up. They're going to place the crown of thorns upon my head. I will eventually be pierced in the side. My blood is going to run out on the ground. And I thank you, God, for that experience. Turn back with me just a little bit here to the book of Philippians. This is an area in my own life that I'm struggling with because I am not always thankful. I have not yet learned the art of genuine thankfulness. I can cover it up. You ask me how I'm doing, and most likely I'm always going to say, I'm fine, how about you? In Philippians 4, here's what the Apostle Paul had to say about this. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Verses 6 and 7, he would say, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. If we do that, something happens. The scripture says something will follow. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know as much about it today as our physicians here do, but the mind develops thought patterns and pathways. And if you think a certain way, I've been told that it becomes a very familiar direction for the mind to go. And so the mind feels comfortable retreating down those familiar pathways. So if we think in a direction that's not the most healthy, and we do that often enough, well, the pathways are formed, and then the mind will be directed to go that way instead of the more positive direction. But you can guard your own heart. You may intentionally, purposefully choose to have your mind shielded or guarded through Christ Jesus. Now, verse 8 tells us how to do this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I believe it. God doesn't want us to do more. He wants us to be more so that He can work in us more effectively. I was searching for examples last night, and I got to reading Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 and some of those same people that we're studying about in the Sabbath school lesson, these great men and women of faith of yesteryear who were common, ordinary citizens. They didn't do as much maybe as the Apostle Paul or any of those men, and yet their work is singular in purpose and just as important and everlasting. I don't know any of them who would have missed in this area of guarding the mind and who would have wanted to have been left out on that maturation process of developing the ability to be thankful. Consider Noah just for a little bit. Noah was warned of things yet to come. And he believed it so much. He emptied out his 401k and his retirement plan and everything. When everybody else was telling him it had never rained, physical science says it is impossible it's going to rain, even if it could rain, there's not enough water available in this region to float such a monstrosity that you're building, Noah. And yet, we cannot imagine Noah also getting off to himself and standing on a stump with his head bowed low, his eyes closed, his hands being twisted like this, and he says, God, why did you choose me? I don't want to be building this boat, Lord. I don't want to be the laughingstock of the community. My wife's upset with me. My kids want to take a vacation. Our axes are wearing out, Lord. But I'm thankful that you gave me this commission. I can't put all that together. I don't know how to do that. And yet, in this process of spiritual growth, the spirit of thanksgiving is not to be an option. Would you say amen? And every day, every hour, every moment, if God's will is lived out in us, then we should be growing more and more thankful. There is a way to do that in which earthly circumstances do not dictate whether or not we are grateful. Now that's the place that I want every one of us to reach. And I'm with you. It is a journey that will take us into the kingdom, and it's a journey that we can help each other with. In closing, would you turn with me to the book of Psalms? And I'd like to go to Psalms 92 first. Psalms 92, beginning here with verse 1. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hand." Look right across the page with me, please, at Psalms 95. He says, "Oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And let us come," where? "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." And you can continue that theme in Scripture over and over again. How do we transfer from here to here? It's logical. It's scriptural. But how do we practice it? By placing the guard around our mind, having the right pathways of thought, and spending time with those things that are right and just and honest and pure and of a good report, and those things which are lovely. Loving Father, today we confess that we have not always been of a thankful spirit. We confess that we want that wonderful blessing within our heart to be thankful, to see the good, and even in times when it is difficult, we give you permission to move upon our own mind, to give us understanding and the growing ability to be more grateful, to be truly thankful for every good gift that you give to us. Please now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, convict each of us of the growth areas in our life. Give us the ability, Lord, of surrender to you, and in so doing be made strong in the true spirit of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.